right, welcome to this episode of Midnight Triple Feature. You can head over to the website, midnighttriplefeature.blogspot.com. Link up to our Facebook or Twitter right from there. We are actually now on Instagram, so anybody who uses that can search us over there. I mean, basically, it's just me and Adam posting stuff that we're watching. There's really nothing else going on over there, so we're still trying to figure it out. Adam's here.
Hello.
I'm Mike. And so with the whole Twitter thing.
Yeah.
Dude, I could not figure that out.
What do you mean? Wait, Twitter or Instagram?
Or not Twitter. I'm sorry. Instagram. I couldn't figure it out at all. I had my daughter help me.
I'm still trying to figure it out. I'm like lost.
Yeah. So I'm on the computer and I'm going through it, trying to figure it out. Can't figure out how to do it. And she was like, you can't do it on the computer.
Yeah. I had to do it through my phone.
And I'm like, what do you mean you can't do it on the computer? And she was like, no, you got to use your phone. And I'm like, oh, crap. So then I go on the phone. I'm trying to figure it out. And then eventually I'm like, here. I'll just tell you what you need to type in. So basically, she set the whole thing up for us.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I couldn't figure it out. And then, like, I'm going through it, looking at pictures and stuff, and I'm like, well, how do I, you know, I can see I know how to upload here, but then how do I get it out there so that somebody, she's like, oh, you got to hashtag everything. I'm like, all right, so yeah, what do I put for the hash? She's like, I don't know.
You make hashtags up. That's how it works.
Yeah, she's like, you got to find a hashtag that goes with the picture. I'm like, all right, this is too much for me.
Right, like, so, I think I hashtagged something like crazy furry girls night out because there's like a furry running around killing people. And like, you can just make shit. You can hashtag whatever you want. Yeah, we are on there. I don't know. It's kind of fun.
Yeah, it's different.
Just, yeah.
Definitely different.
Shit that we're doing.
So. But yeah, right now it's just us and crap we're watching or blah or anything like that. So if you're interested, head over there. But we got a few artsploitation films lined up for you today. But before we get into that, you want to talk about a few other ones we got in?
Yeah, sure. So let's see. Wait. Well, how about we start with one we both watched? So you know we both watched Redwood Massacre.
Yep.
I actually wrote. I don't know if you did. You see what I wrote up on that?
I skimmed through it. Yeah, I didn't.
Yeah. So I'm wondering what your thoughts are on it.
Yeah, so that was Clear Focus Films produced that, and it was distributed, I mean, everywhere. So in the U.S., it was distributed by Uncorked Entertainment. I really wanted to like this. I really did. It was good. I'm not going to say it's bad. It was bad, but you have a killer, which had an awesome, like, costume, awesome mask.
It's the best. That was my favorite thing was the look. Great look.
Yeah, the look was very like if you saw that shit, you would really be scared.
Yeah, they either put a lot of time into it or they got lucky, whatever. But it's really effective.
Cool. He's like Zombie Jason, huge.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. I was thinking the same thing, Zombie Jason.
Yeah.
And this guy is a zombie or he is kind of right. Like, he's supposed to be.
I don't know if they really say or if somebody else took over.
Oh, maybe that's, yeah. Maybe
it was a copycat killer.
Could have been something like that.
Yeah. You know, they don't really say. The characters, I didn't care about them. They never did anything in there that made me want to root for them.
Yeah, that,
there was just no development with the characters at all.
I was really, you had four characters. There were technically five, but one of them gets killed off pretty quick.
Yeah.
And then the three out of those four characters, I wrote about this too, were just like, they're all obsessed with the fact that, like, the two girls are both in love with this guy. And this guy's with one of the girls, and it's just this pointless defining characteristic for all of them, that the only thing that matters is their stupid relationships.
Yeah, and that got played out real quick.
Yeah, and it just goes on, and, like, the one girl is bitching because she can't stand the other girl, and it's like, oh my god, like, I don't want to be around these people anymore.
No, exactly.
That's what it was
exactly.
Like.
So that was my biggest issue with it. Another issue I had with it was where they were located. There was so much more they could have done.
Yep.
The kills could have been so much better.
Yep.
You know, they're in the woods. They're in a barn. There's so many more objects.
Junkyard at one point, right?
Yeah, in a junkyard. Right. There's so many other things. And a house at one point, too.
Yeah, right.
So they're in the woods, a house, a junkyard. And an old barn. There were so many other things that they could have done other than the kills that they did. Like, they could have utilized that area so much more. So those are the two biggest issues I had with it. Other than that, it really wasn't that bad.
Yeah, it's not bad. There's some defects aren't bad. Like I said, the killer's great. I had mentioned, it clicked for me at one point that this, the backstory of this is, like, note by note, the same backstory as Madman. And I only realized that because I just watched Mad Men. But the basic story is that there's a farmer, goes crazy, kills his family. And then the farmer then goes out into the woods and kills anybody that, like, comes into his woods and disturbs him.
Yeah.
In Mad Men, the story is that there's a farmer, murders his family, and then he returns, you know, to murder campers who come into his woods and disturb him. So, like, I thought it was, like, very oddly similar, like, the fact that it was a farmer that, I don't think it was intentional, I don't think that they knowingly did it, but it was interesting that it was the, well, at least not the
same premise.
Very similar premise, but, and I also don't like the slasher movies now that take that, like, tie victims down and torture them. Like, cause,
yeah.
You know, they did that a couple times in this movie. I'd rather it be like, I guess it's because we grew up on, like, Jason, where, you know, he's just running around killing people and he doesn't, like, torture them. And that's very modern. That's, like, a very modern way of approaching it. That's, like, hostile. I always say it's, like, hostile-like, you know?
Yeah.
Like, tie someone down, torture them. That's just what people are used to. Saw, you know, that's got a lot to do with that, too. That's just, like, the style people are used to. But, I mean, you could do a lot worse, certainly. It's not a horrible movie. It just, it could have been really great. You know, that's the thing, I think.
Yeah, it could have been.
That's why I responded to it as I did, because it's not like it didn't have any potential, you know. It had so much potential, and they hit some of it, but they kind of miss opportunities in others. So,
yeah, no, I would say definitely check it out when it comes out.
It's worth a watch. You won't be disappointed you watched it, but I think anybody who watches it would see how much better it could have been.
Yeah. So, which other ones did you watch?
I watched House of Good and Evil, which you didn't watch.
Right? Yeah, that one I didn't say.
Real quick, I didn't write up a review yet, but I think I'm going to. It's basically this couple moves out to this big house out in the middle of nowhere, and they're moving out from, like, New York City. They have lots of, like, issues in their marriage, and they, like, lost a baby and this and that. So they move out to this house where there's no electricity, no phone, everything's run by generator. They have, like, a wood stove to cook, you know, like a burn wood to cook in a stove. And the only other people around are their neighbors who are also their tenants. And it's like this elderly couple. And basically it's sort of a slow burn style of the wife sort of losing her mind over the course of the movie. Cause her husband is always gone. Cause he has to drive like 3 hours to go to work and he's staying overnight. And then she starts to wonder like whether or not he's actually working and what's, you know, like lots of weird sort of strange things start happening. And then, you know, it is similar, I guess, to what you would have seen in like a 70s style film. It wasn't unusual to see a movie with like a female character, like a Rosemary's Baby or something, like late 60s, but like a character who is sort of alone and questioning her own sanity and whatnot. And then it all kind of comes to a head at the end in a twist. Interestingly enough with the twist, I won't spoil it obviously, but when the twist happened, I was like, that's really funny because at one point in the movie, I thought that what the twist is was going to happen, but then it didn't happen. So I was like, oh, that's not the twist. And it won't make sense. It only makes sense when you see the movie, what I'm saying. But it was like this weird moment where I was like, oh, I thought that was going to happen, but it didn't happen. So I assumed that wasn't going to happen. And then it did happen. Like, I don't know.
I watch stuff like that.
Yeah. It's actually a pretty good movie, I have to say. I actually enjoyed it quite a bit. It had me interested. And it works pretty well on a limited locations and limited budget. Cast is good. And it's not like a jump-out, scary-type movie. You're not going to be scared by this movie. But if you kind of like that slow burn, you know, psychological-type horror, that's...
Yeah, I'll get to that one.
Yeah, it's pretty well done. I would say it's definitely worth watching. And the only other one I watched was, at least I think the only one, besides the art exploitation stuff we're going to talk about, was Ace Jackson is a Dead Man.
Yeah, I didn't get to that one either.
So that last year I reviewed Scumbag Hustler, which was a movie from Sean Weathers, directed by and starring. And this year, once again, we had the opportunity to check out his newest movie. It's called Ace Jackson is a Dead Man. And it's basically about this character, Ace Jackson, who decides he's going to, like, make it big by stealing drugs from a drug dealer. And then he's going to, like, make money and they're going to run away, him and his girlfriend. But his girlfriend ends up stealing the drugs from him. So then he has like a week to try to come up with the money or, you know, he's going to end up dead. So the rest of the movie is just him trying to figure out ways to find to get money. But it's like the way he does it, he's just a complete asshole, like through the whole movie. Like a real asshole. Like he gets this movie, by the way, I should say, has like some sort of softcore porn in it, which so did Scumbag Hustler. So if that's like bothers anyone, and you know, just be prepared if you do watch it that you're gonna get that. It's not hardcore because you don't see, you know, hardcore would be penetration. Doesn't have that, but it's pretty close. But like there's a scene where he goes and he gets like this girl off the street, and he like basically tries to convince her to go be a hoe for him. He's gonna be her pimp so he can pimp her out and make money. And he like sets her up with this one guy who's like a real dick and like basically rapes her. And then like here's this other scene where like he beats the shit out of this woman because he's just like angry. And there's like a lot of like they treat the character as like a real dick. I think that's on purpose. I don't think that's the weird thing about the movies. I don't think you're supposed to actually like this guy. Cause, I mean, he is kind of an asshole, right? Like, he starts out the movie by stealing drugs from a drug dealer. He's going to use that to make money so he can run away. And, like, the funny thing is, they're like, oh, we could get, like, 50 grand off of this, right? So, 50 grand, that's a lot of money, right? I'm not going to say it's not a lot of money. You it's cannot enough. Retire off of 50 grand.
No.
You know what I mean? Like, you can't take 50 grand and run away. They say, like, oh, we can go to Paris. You're like, you're not going to be able to run away and fucking live forever off $50,000. So you're just not going to be able to do it.
No, not unless you invest all $50,000 in something really good and wait
and
a few years.
Yeah, it blows up and you... Yeah, exactly. So, but I think, you know, you're probably supposed to think that. Like, yeah, this guy's just a real idiot, you know? But it's only, like, a little over an hour. It's shot black and white, like, high contrast black and white. I think Weathers is a pretty good actor. I liked him in the last movie. This movie's just not as much fun. This Scumbag Hustler, I thought was fun. I watched that a couple times. This one is more like a downer. It's not supposed to be as enjoyable. So, but I don't know. I like his stuff, man. I really do. I've seen like three of his movies now, and I don't know, something about him. I like him. He's at FullCircleFilmWorks.com.
Okay.
So if anybody wants to check him out, I think he's worth checking out. But it's not gonna be for everyone. It's just not.
It's definitely that exploitation style.
It is. It definitely is. Yeah.
Some of his older stuff was very guerrilla style. So you gotta you know, like that style of film.
Yeah, the other one I saw by him was called I think They All Must Die or something. It was like a rape revenge. And it's like bad. It's like that's a rough movie. The first 40 minutes, it like takes I Spit on Your Grave and like pushes that. You know what I mean, in terms of sexual violence and stuff. So he likes to kind of push the limit a little bit, make you uncomfortable. But I think, is that it? That's probably it for me. If I have watched anything else, I'm not remembering it, so that means it probably wasn't any good. So
I watched we got another one in called Closer to God.
Yeah, I wanted to watch that one. I'm curious what you think.
Yeah, it's done by LC Pictures. It's available in theaters and on demand July 3rd, but it's only in, you know, major cities, Los Angeles, New York, you know, Cleveland, all that stuff, Chicago. So if you're near that area, you should be able to see it then. Of course, nothing's ever around us. So it's basically about this doctor who makes the first human clone and then goes public with it. He actually makes the clone and puts it, you know, basically does all this scientific stuff and then puts it in a woman. And then the baby grows inside of her, but it's a direct clone from him and her.
That's weird. Yeah.
So,
why didn't you just have sex with her?
Because that would defeat the purpose of making a clone. Well, I guess technically it's still a clone, right? It's a clone of
it
him.
It is, right? Yeah. If you're saying it's a clone of him and her.
Yeah, it's weird because at one point, you know, they say, oh, who was the clone donor?
Yeah.
And he was like, it was me, and I'm not going to disclose the female who participated and blah, 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 blah. Then he explains how he does it. And then at one point, he was like, I'm the father and the brother of this baby. So it's weird.
So I can see him going to, like, scientific community and be like, I have a breakthrough. I figured out how to clone myself inside of another woman and clone my DNA with hers and create another human out of that. And then the scientist being like, you could just have sex with her. Like, that's the same thing. And then him being like, well, why would I do that? Like, I don't know. It's such a weird thing. Like...
Yeah.
I'm going to put my DNA with her DNA and create another person inside of her, which... There's already a solution for that, and it sounds like a lot less fun the way he's doing it.
Yeah, pretty much, yeah, because he's basically I guess it would be useful if, say, you wanted your legacy to go on.
Yeah, but couldn't you do that by having a kid the old-fashioned way? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Or is this like a direct clone of him? Like, is this like him as a little kid? So he's like recreating himself exactly?
Yeah, but one part comes from him. The other part comes
from her.
Well, yeah. It's basically him.
Yeah.
And then put inside of her to grow.
Okay.
So someone's got to carry the baby.
Okay.
But it's a clone of him.
Okay. That's a little different then. All right.
Movie's not bad. It's basically him trying to care for this baby, and people are like, you can't play God. You're not God, and blah, 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 blah. Right. And then they, you know, they, like, show up, they find out that the baby's in the hospital in, like, this underground tunnel, and they go there and protest, so now they have to move the baby, and then they find out where he moved the baby, and then they go there, and they're just basically protesting. And then you find out that there's a little more going on other than the one he created.
Okay.
And the last 20 minutes of this movie is batshit crazy.
Oh, really?
Yeah, get through this movie, watch the last, like, I would say 30 minutes, and it goes absolutely insane. Like, it's pretty deep. And there's, like, one thing that happens, like, right towards the end where you're like, that's fucked up.
Okay.
Like, that's real fucked up.
All right, well, so, maybe I'll have to watch
Yeah, that one,
Is it fucked up in the same way the treatment is fucked up in the end?
Ugh.
Like, is it as fucked up?
God, it's like, you don't see it coming, and then when it happens, you're like, wow, they just went there.
All right.
So, it's pretty deep. So, that one's worth a check. That's July 3rd.
All right.
We went over Redwood Massacre.
Yeah.
I watched the A plate that we got in.
Okay. I deleted that one, so you
okay.
can, no offense to whoever made it, but it didn't look like it was for me, so it's not, you know.
Yeah, no, it's definitely not for either of us, but I was just kind of going through, watching trailers, all this, because we had gotten so much stuff in, so I was just kind of, you know, running trailers, seeing what I liked, and this played, and the old lady was like, oh, I'll watch that. So I said, all right, well, let's watch it. It was distributed by Osiris Entertainment, and I'm not sure when this one's coming out. I think it's coming out soon. I think it's coming out in July. Really, all it's about is this guy, and there's actually a couple of people in there that are actually known actors. He is like the manager of a car dealership, and the whole thing is he gets so much JJ working there, like, you know, a woman comes in, oh, I give you a good deal, and the next thing you know, he's sleeping with her. So it's like that. It's just, you know, he's just turning these women in and out, in and out, in and out. And his whole thing, I didn't even know this existed, but apparently, depending on where you work in the company, you get a certain plate, and the A plate means you're a dealer. And all the other plates are like sales or, you know, whatever.
Okay.
So he wants the A plate. That's all he wants. And then he falls in love, and a whole bunch of crap happens with the owner and his wife. So he's trying to, like, play both sides so that he can become the dealer and get the A plate. He's trying to swindle both of them. At the same time, he's trying to keep his love interest together.
Yeah. So I'm just real quickly going to interrupt and ask you a question and see if I know what's going to happen. So does, like, something bad happen between him and the woman he's in love with, and she gets mad at him, and then, like, she doesn't want to be with him anymore, and then he has to try to get her back in some way at the end of the movie?
It's almost like you watched it.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow, what a surprise.
Yeah.
I never could have guessed that that's what's going to happen.
It's a pretty standard story. For somebody who likes that style of movie, that, you know, that love stuff, it's fine. It's definitely...
I mean, I can't judge, because we watch predictable fucking shit all the time. And and I like it, you know, but
we're just not the demographic for this. It's definitely for, you know, you want to cozy up to your old lady and pop some popcorn and watch a movie. That's what this is.
You know, you want to watch Horsehead with her?
You're definitely not watching Horsehead or The Treatment, you know.
Oh, The Treatment. There's one you want to cozy up. That one's going to get you.
Yeah. I'm saying if you watch The A-Plate, some stuff might happen later on in the night.
if you watch The Treatment,
no, she's probably going to be in the... I'm going to go grab a soda, and then she's going to start doing dishes and stuff. I mean, depends on what kind of chick you got, because there are some girls that really like this stuff, which is cool.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So it depends on your girl, but... Yeah, so that's The A-Plate. That's coming off soon if you're interested in that.
Alrighty.
And I think that was all the ones I watched so far that we've gotten in.
Yeah, we have some more. We're gonna get to them. We got some more.
Okay. Yeah, I know we got more in. I just got to find the time to watch them now.
Yep.
So, but that's all I watched. All
right. So you want to talk about these artsploitation films then?
Yeah. Why don't we get into it?
This is the the second batch we've reviewed, because we did. You can go back and listen to a few weeks ago, I guess. We did Durst Samurai and House with 100 Eyes, and both of those came recommended from us anyway. And definitely were worth checking out. So now we're looking at the next two releases that they have lined up, or actually one of them's already out.
I just want to say something real quick.
Yeah.
I do got to say, and not because artsploitation's been really good to us and giving us stuff and sending us stuff.
Right.
So this is, I'm not blowing smoke up them at all. Not to give away the next two we're going to review, but everything they've ever sent us has been way above what I expected.
Yeah, no, they put out great stuff.
Like, I'm not sure
they really put out great
where they find this stuff and how they obtain it, but everything that they have put out that I've seen has been
so far,
really good.
Been good. Yeah. Like, really different type shit.
Yeah, they're all different countries. Like,
really high quality.
Yeah. So these guys really know what they're picking out.
Oh, yeah, and absolutely, no doubt. I mean, they always have. The stuff they were releasing, like, you know, months ago, even, the stuff I saw was just insane. Insane stuff that, I mean, I don't know if some of this stuff maybe would not be as easily accessible or whatnot if they weren't picking it up and putting it out there, so.
Yeah, I mean, if I handed you six movies, six random movies, and said, watch these, you're probably going to find one or two that you may not like. Six out of six isn't bad, you know? So,
yeah. So, anyway, for this episode, we're doing Horsehead, which comes out on June 23rd. It's already out, actually. So, and we're doing The Treatment, which comes out on, let me pull this up, July 7th. So, that one is not out yet. So, what do you want to start with? Do you want to start with Horsehead?
Yeah, go ahead.
I want to try to talk about this one without getting too spoilery, I guess. Although, can you really spoil? I don't even know if you can spoil this movie. Wouldn't even matter. It's so fucking crazy.
There's so much stuff going on.
Let me read the synopsis here. So, haunting, surreal, and shocking, Horsehead is a horror fantasy that pays tribute to the classic European shockers of Dario Argento and Mario Bava. Beautiful young Jessica returns to her family's estate for her grandmother's funeral, where she is haunted by recurring nightmares of a horse-headed monster. She soon discovers the secrets behind this sinister apparition. A feverish, ethereal journey through the psychosexual world of nightmares. So, it also stars Katarina is how I always heard people say it, but it's spelled like Katriana McCall, who is probably best known for The Beyond and House by the Cemetery, so the work she did with Fulci in the late 70s, early 80s. And Murray Head, Sunday Bloody Sunday, and One Night in Bangkok. One Night Bangkok. You ever heard that song?
No.
That's from that. It's like, doo, 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 doo. It's like some, I don't know. Murray Head, I think, is like sang and stuff in the 80s. And there was this song called One Night in Bangkok. And I think it was supposed to be like based around like a rock opera.
And I've never heard of it.
It's like the song's like, One Night in Bangkok. I don't know. It's the only part I know of the song. But you can listen to that online. It's an interesting song. So, yeah, Horsehead, I think the description here, comparing it to the stuff of, like, Argento and Bava is pretty much spot on. It has that. It doesn't feel like a 70s movie in terms of look, necessarily, because it's got a modern feel to it. But the look, in terms of sort of artistic direction, cinematography, the colors, the reds, the blues. The same thing we talked about with Durst Samurai, actually, but that wasn't intentional. This one, I think they're really going for that. It's definitely got that very sort of surreal vibe to it. Like something like Suspiria on acid, almost.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like if you were to take Suspiria and then inject that with even more insanity. Maybe even closer to, I don't know if you've ever seen Inferno, Argento's Inferno. Like, even that is more out there than Suspiria. It's more disjointed, more surreal, kind of unsure of exactly what's going on, things like that. And Suspiria has that dreamlike quality to it, you know, like that sense of never knowing if someone is sort of actually seeing what they're seeing and what's hallucination and what's real. And Horsehead plays with that because they're dealing with, what's it called? Lucid dreaming, right? Lucid dreaming.
Yeah.
Have you ever had a lucid dream?
No, I haven't.
No. Would you want to ever?
Not like that, but when I quit smoking, I took Chantix. And a lot of people say it does different things to them.
Yeah, I've heard that. Yeah.
The only thing that ever did to me was these weird psychedelic dreams where, all the dreams were really colorful and, I felt like I was in control of everything that happened, and I would always wake up and go, that seems so real, but I knew it was real because of the way I was seeing it.
Yeah.
So it's very similar, but, yeah.
You didn't see any horse-headed yet.
No horse-heads. They would have been really cool, though.
So, I mean, what are your thoughts on Horsehead? I mean, what was your initial reaction to it? Just curious.
Yeah, no, it was, the lighting and the music.
Yeah.
When she goes into the dream world is phenomenal.
Yeah.
If it was just that normal, woo-woo, that weird shit that people always play when they go into the dream.
Yeah.
It probably would have threw me off a little bit, but the way they play it out is so well done. It kind of draws you in. There were times on it where I was like, what the hell's going on?
Oh, yeah, for sure. Yeah.
And I didn't know what the hell I was watching.
No, it's got a lot of that to it. I think that's you're supposed to feel that way.
But you get that a lot with the older Italian films.
That's what I'm saying.
It just goes batshit crazy. You don't know what the hell's going on.
If you watch something like Inferno, there's points in that movie you're just like, what the fuck? You don't even... you're trying to figure out if what he's doing is all knowingly intentional or if he's just saying fuck it. There's point, you know what I mean? You get that. And for this, I think it makes sense because they're dealing with dreams and that whole concept of, dreams, anything can sort of happen, right? So you're going to have these very weird jumps. You're going to have, weird story structures and whatnot. It's going to make sense in a dream. My initial reaction was certainly what? There were points where I'm like, what the fuck's going on? I had no idea what's going on.
Yeah. Quite a few times.
I mean, I can't say that by the end of it, I still had any clear idea of what happened.
No, not really.
No, you don't.
I mean, even by the end, you're kind of like, I get it. But yeah. Then at the same time, you're like, what the?
You do, right? At the end, you get it. You get what the, because there's sort of a clear path as to where this movie's supposed to go and to what she's supposed to be doing in these dreams. And she's sort of uncovering all these different things about her own past, figuring out, about her own history and where she really came from and the secrets that her mother's hiding. And that's sort of all revealed in dreams, which is actually another thing. How weird would that be? If you go oh man, I want to just know what happened to me when I was, who my dad is or something. And you could just, go into a dream and find out.
Yeah, that'd be pretty cool.
My question would be, because that's obviously something that you couldn't possibly do, right? But is, the idea that she's accessing, these memories or something, of her own birth or of her own...
So you'd only be able to access memories.
But that's not true either, because she accesses, experiences of her mother.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean? With the priest and stuff.
Yeah, and she wouldn't remember that. Because I'm thinking if I could do it, I would definitely, go find out who won the World Series.
Yeah.
And then just bet a shitload of money on it.
Yeah, you start, seeing the future and stuff.
Yeah, well no, because it'd be in the past. So I would, in my dream, I would just be like, all right, who won the 2005 World Series? Go back. Or even the Super Bowl, figure it out, and then bet on it. Well, no, because that wouldn't work, would it?
No, because...
That's time travel.
Yeah, I'm saying you'd have to be able to go back in time.
Yeah, that wouldn't work.
Not the same thing.
Can I interloop my own dream?
I don't know.
So I can dream in this present time, and then in my dream, enter my dream from the past.
Oh my God.
And give them the information.
Imagine that. Yeah. That would be nuts.
Like Inception, man.
Yeah, it is, right? You start to get Inception level stuff. Yeah, I mean, it's also worth noting there is some sort of crazy effects stuff in here. There is a horse-headed creature in this movie.
Which is awesome.
It's so awesome. He's got what does he carry?
Like a scythe?
Like a scythe, yeah. And it's he's just this ominous figure, and they tell her, follow the wolf, run from the horseman or whatever. And
like find the key. And
yeah, and all this other stuff. But, like, that horse-headed figure, who she eventually, of course, has to have confrontation with, is actually just weird as fuck. Like, seeing, like, this...
What I liked about the horse head was, actually, I think it's right on the cover. Yeah, it's on the cover, but it's kind of a weird version of it. It's like, there's no emotion to the horse head. It's just kind of, it's like a still horse head.
Oh, yeah, it's like a stationary head, yeah.
But it's so menacing.
Yeah.
And every once in a while, it has, like, smoke that comes out of its nose.
yeah, that's on here, too. That's actually on the art.
Yeah, it's really a menacing creature. And then you have, you know, the calm wolf.
Right.
That comes into play every once in a while.
Right, I mean, yeah, and it's funny because, like, you can't help but watch a movie, like, about nightmares and not think of, like, Nightmare on Elm Street and stuff like that. You know, it's like, you're going to do it. But there's, like, this is a way that you would want to see a movie handle, like, nightmares and dreams. Just, I don't know, like, these really sort of, again, real menacing and ominous sort of figures and things that, if you were dreaming that, you'd, like, shit your pants type level stuff. You know, like, these are how nightmares should be formed in movies.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, it feels, I don't know. I feel like real dreams, like the way you actually dream.
Yeah. You know? I love when they go into it, though, like that industrial, I guess that's what you call it, like industrial music that plays.
Yeah, the music's pretty good,
yeah. It fits so well. Yeah. I enjoyed it, actually.
Oh, I was like, enthralled with this movie.
Me too.
Like, I was, like, sitting there watching it, and I'm like, this is so fucking weird. Like, but it's almost like that's what helps keep you engaged, you know? And there's, like, all the stuff with the mother, and there's that weird relationship, and, like, why is she come off as such a bitch, and this and that, and you kind of find all this stuff out about, like, the shit she went through, and it's all this weird fucked up shit with her and a priest or whatever, or like her father. And not gonna get into spoiler here, but it's like just
some, yeah, it's pretty deep.
Yeah. There's some crazy stuff going on here, but
let's just say the family's not all together.
Yeah. It's a really good movie. And if you like that 70s Italian style film, if you like Argento, particularly his more surreal stuff, not like Deep Red and Crystal Plumage and stuff, but like his later stuff in the 70s and 80s, you probably would dig this quite a bit. So, yeah, it's another, like, I don't want to act like we're just pretending to like this stuff, because this is the third movie we've done with exploitation that we really recommended. They're good, man.
They're all good. That's what I said. They're all good.
You can't, you know, like,
they're all different and they're all good. Yeah.
They give you something, some spin on something that maybe you haven't seen before. Or even if it's, in a way, homaging an old style, it still brings it into, like, a modern, the modern era, while still maintaining all the things that make that genre right. I don't know. Just, I liked it, man.
Yeah. Check out Horsehead.
Yeah. So, now let's talk about the treatment.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Let's talk about this.
The treatment.
All right, so I got to say when...
Well, do you want me to read the synopsis first? Or what do you want to say? You want to start?
Yeah, no, it's just when we first got this, basically all I had was the name.
Me too.
And a picture of it. Me, you know, because when they send it to us, they just send, you know,
they send
the picture.
Synopsis, but I didn't read it.
Neither did I. Yeah. So when I was watching it, I'm like, this is not what I thought it was going to be.
Yeah.
And the more I got into it, I was like, hell yeah. This is, like, really disturbingly weird.
Yeah. So let me read the synopsis, and then we'll get into it. And, again, this one is a weird one because there's so much in here that I don't want to spoil, because there are reveals throughout and things that happen throughout, you know, that you don't want to spoil them. So we're going to try to, like, tread carefully here.
Yeah.
Talk about the movie without giving anything away that would, you know, ruin it for potential viewers. But... So, based on the best-selling novel by British writer Mo Hayder, is a troubling, involving, and very dark police thriller about a cop bent on solving a series of murderous kidnappings and killings. If you thought American Crime and The Wire were intense, you better get prepared for a story much more shocking. After the film premiered at Fantastic Fest, WeGotThisCover.com wrote, "The treatment is exactly that kind of harrowing, haunting filmmaking that elevates typical crime drama storytelling into realms we'd probably be better off never exploring. Yet filmmaker Hans Herbertz ensures you'll be glued to your seat whether you like it or not." That wasn't it. That was something else. Okay. That was like the selling thing. Now here's the synopsis. The treatment is an unsettling Belgian murder mystery that gets under your skin and stays there. A nail-biting suspense yarn based on one of a series of best-selling novels by British crime writer Mo Hayder. The film is not an old-fashioned Agatha Christie-type whodunit, but its gritty themes of sexual violence and pedophilia give it a raw, contemporary intensity that places it in the same company as A Girl with a Dragon Tattoo book and film series. Police Inspector Nick Kaffmeyer is investigating a case where a mother and father have been bound to beaten and a young son is missing. An obsessive loner, Kaffmeyer discovers that there are other similar cases, tragedies where the parents are forced by a psychopath to harm their own children who then vanish. For the inspector, this triggers memories of his brother's abduction as a child and the possibility that he may still be alive somewhere. The treatment is a thriller with an edge. So it's interesting that they said The Girl with the Dragon Tattoo, because I hadn't read that till just now. I don't know if you saw The Girl with the Dragon Tattoo.
Well, I own it on DVD because they watched it, but I've never seen it.
The vibe from this is like, I was watching, I was like, this is like that, which is a good thing because that's a really, if you haven't seen it, you should actually watch it. It's a really good movie. But it's sort of stylistically very similar. And then the other thing I was thinking, it's like Law & Order SVU if that were like a good show. You know what I mean? Like, because I don't know if you ever, I don't like Law & Order SVU.
Never watched it.
Well, basically every, it's like a story, crime of the week type show where like it's always dealing with like, you know, children getting injured or abused and all this and that. And then you have like your detective who tracks down the person that's guilty and puts them away. You know, like, it's like that, but good, because SVU is just, I don't know, the, I don't like that show. like, you'll hear jokes made about that show all the time, about, like, anybody that played, like, small parts on it. They always played, you know, like, a victim of sexual abuse or a sexual abuser or a rapist or a dead prostitute or, you know, it's like, that's the show. So, it's like that, but just really not like that at the same time. Like, it's not made in that style at all. It's just similar stories. But, so yeah, the first thing that's like really jarring about the movie is its blatant, the way it sort of blatantly deals with pedophilia from, you know, from adult male on young boy perspective, which is like really, really unsettling throughout. And they really start to get into like this world.
Yeah, like this underground world of like pedophilia.
Right. Yeah,
and
like these things,
people
that,
involved.
And, yeah, and like the filmmaking industry that revolves around it, and how there's like these groups of people who are all involved in these things, and they all know each other, and like you're watching it, and like in your head you're like, I don't want this to actually be a thing that happens, but in the other side of your head you're like, you know, it is.
Yeah, well, you hear reports all the time of like, this guy was caught with 152 DVDs or
you know,
hard drive full of it, and it's
those
like,
those are coming from somewhere, right?
Yeah, you never really put any thought to it, like, oh, this guy's sick or anything, and then you watch this, and you're like,
right.
It really puts it into perspective of how the rest of that falls into place.
Exactly, like that sort of process by which they get what they get, you know?
Yeah.
Like, and yeah, it's really, there's scenes in this movie that are, I think I messaged you and I was like, I don't want to give it away because it's such a key scene in the movie, but basically where the person that's been doing this to the families, they show in a very sort of interesting angle him in the process of doing his routine, his treatment, really. He calls it his treatment.
Yeah.
And I messaged you and I was like, watching that scene is so fucked up. It's like, they went to a place where, like, you didn't know if they were actually going to go to that place. Like, they warn you and they lead up to it and they tell you that this is what's happening. And then you get to that point where it's happening near the end of the movie. And you're like, all right, like,
that, the whole scene you're talking about.
Yeah, you know what I'm talking
so
about.
It's so disturbing because you have what's going on and what you can see, and then there's certain things going on that you can't see, but you can hear.
Exactly, and right. It's what's off screen that's just as bad.
Yeah,
right.
Exactly.
And the way it's shot, like it's shot through this little peephole in the floor, and the way you're looking down, and it's, I mean, it's just the way it's so well done. Like the way it's shot, the way it's set up, the way that they frame it. Like you said, the way they use audio, like, it's what you don't see and what you see combined that
like, yeah, when it's all together,
this vision for you, you're like, oh my god.
Like, yeah, I want the acting is top notch.
Yeah, throughout
everybody. Throughout this whole movie. Every time you get someone who's emotional, someone, no matter what it is, completely believable. Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't even know how to explain it. I've never actually saw a film where the acting is that believable and that emotional to the point where it just kind of pulls you in.
Oh, yeah.
And you actually believe what you're seeing is, real. Like, it's done so well.
Yeah, I mean, this movie's, 2 hours and 10 minutes long, and it, like you said, it pulls you in so well that at no point does that 2 hours ever feel like 2 hours.
It's
you are constantly involved in what these characters are doing and what they're going through from every perspective, from the cop himself, right, to the victims, to the person responsible. You know what I mean? Like, all these different, because even the person responsible, and again, that's not going to spoil that because you're given like three or four sort of primary suspects to this, and it eventually whittles itself down and you figure out who it is. But even that person, like, the way that they play, you're almost like, there's like this weird like sympathy to it because they're out of their mind. You know what I mean?
Yeah, like, it's almost like they don't know what they're doing.
Yeah,
wrong.
Exactly. Like, again, he's like, it's a guy. That's going to be clear from the beginning. But he's like, this is my treatment. I'm entitled to my treatment. Like, in his head, he's fixing himself of his condition, which is another thing that they obviously will reveal throughout the movie. But, and he's really, like, there's points where he'll be like, I can't do this anymore. I got to do the right thing. But he can't. You know what I mean? It's like this weird.
Yeah, like that scene where he's pacing around.
Yeah, and he's like, I got to do it.
And then he, like, he walks out of the door. He walks back in the door.
Yeah, and, you know, he's like, I got to do the right thing. I got to do the right thing. And then.
I'm telling you, like, scenes like that is really what put this movie together.
Yep.
Like, that is unbelievable. Like, you believe that he's really doing this. You believe that he really wants to turn himself in.
Right.
I mean, you believe all of
this. Now, my question for you was, what did you think? Oh, another great thing about this movie is the way that they build in, like, this weird mythology to it, this idea of a troll. Like, so throughout the whole movie, you know how, like, when you deal with serial killers, you give them names? You know, like, oh, the BTK and this and that. So, like, this is the troll. But, like, it's built into this weird mythology where, like, kids fear this troll that's going to come in the middle of the night and devour them. And, like, the way that they build this in, they create this character who's almost non-human. You know what I mean? Like, at some point, like, you're like, I want you, you do start to be like, this is weird. Like, he's doing things that he wants people to believe in a way that he is this creature. He's doing things like the bites and the, like, the way that he comes down from the roof and, he's looking in the windows and he's doing all the things. He's sort of feeding into that mythology, and either intentionally or non-intentionally, they don't really say, but I love how they create that around him, this idea of like a childhood fairy tale, and it builds into like the whole feel of the movie, like this weird twisted fairy tale aspect, at least from the point of view of the children and even some of the adults, because even some of the parents are like, it was the troll, the troll did it.
They set that up nice, because it's certain times he comes, like, down from a roof, or the kids are sleeping, so they wake up, but they've already heard about this troll.
Yeah.
Like, the troll exists.
Exactly.
So when they see him, they don't see him as human.
No, they think he's a troll.
They think he's a troll. Right. So then they tell their friends, and their friends, so there's this whole, like, mythology of a fictional character that's really a real person.
Right, exactly. And it plays out well, because even as an audience, maybe I'm spoiling here. I never thought it was a troll, personally. I always kind of knew this was based in reality. But maybe that's a spoiler to say it's not a troll.
Yeah, I think
they play with it a little bit. Like, oh, maybe it is.
Yeah, I think it's pretty clear, though.
Yeah, I thought so. But, like, even my wife, like, she didn't watch it with me, but she was kind of, like, in and out passively. And she was like, so is this movie about a troll? And I'm like, it's not about a troll. I'm like, you might like it if you actually watch it. You know what I mean?
It's Troll 2.
Troll 3. Yeah. But yeah, just like from that perspective, from the way it's sort of everything's written and put together, I think it's the story's told really well. There's a lot of nice little twists and turns and everything's revealed right. Like, there's no point where it's like some stupid exposition that's going to reveal everything to you because or someone a needs to tell you. Yeah, you know what I mean? Like, everything is done on screen and through events, and it all happens very organically on the screen.
Yeah, it's about, what, 2 hours long?
Yeah.
And never once did I, like, pause to see the timestamp.
No, that's what I'm, yeah.
I just watched it.
And I got to ask you this, and we won't get into it. We won't actually reveal what I'm talking about, but what did you think about, like, the last shot, like, the last scene?
Yeah.
Like,
the very last scene after it goes black?
Well,
or just before?
I'll just say the trailer.
Yeah, like...
What did you think about that?
It's almost like, in a way, you want them to close it.
Yeah, right?
But at the same time, you're like, okay.
At the same time, you're like, all right, well, there was closure in a way, right? But it was like the wrong kind of closure. Like,
yeah, they closed one thing and left another thing completely unclosed.
But to like
unclosed.
From another perspective, like from, there's like two, there's like your character who's looking for closure, got it, right? But, because that character is unaware of what's going on in these other areas.
Yeah, he has no idea.
You know what I mean? So, like, as I'm watching, I'm like, oh my God, that's terrible. Like, the way they ended out, like, you're just like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
I mean, like, that's so messed up. Like, it even ends on, like, a pretty fucked up note.
Yeah, it does, actually.
You know what I mean? Like, yeah. It does. It doesn't, this isn't, in no way is this, like, a tie it up with a bow sort of happy ending type movie.
And another thing, it shouldn't be.
It's a movie about fucking pedophilia and child pornography and.
Yeah, but another thing they do with that particular scene we're talking about, we'll say, is they never actually tell you why that person's there, what that person was involved with, if they've ever used them in the pedophilia.
Right.
They never tell you
anything. Well, you know who that is, right? You
know? Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah,
I know,
okay,
yeah, I know who it is, yeah.
They used them because.
But you never see it.
Yeah, you get like a very quick idea of it, but you're not really sure. Like, there's a scene where they're watching the tape, right? There's a tape, and the character comes in and takes that one kid away, and is like, "Where are his clothes?" And takes him away. I assumed that was him. You know what I mean? The one that that the character takes off screen. It's like, where are his clothes? I'm taking him, whatever. And then kept him, basically. You know, like, that's what I took from it.
Okay.
But I could be wrong. They don't actually explicitly say it.
No,
so,
yeah.
I'm just making assumptions, you know.
Yeah, no, you could be right. I didn't get that from that, but...
Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, it doesn't... This is not a movie that at all wants to leave you feeling like justice has been served. Which it hasn't, you know. It's not the way it's supposed to end.
No, I really like the way they ended it.
Yeah, no, yeah. It's a great movie. I was like... This is a great movie. Like, this is a movie that it's people aren't going to respond to it necessarily in a great way.
How can I say this without? So basically, they give you a story, right? Then that story ends, and they start a whole new story.
Yeah.
So you've completely forgotten what you just saw, right?
Yeah.
So now your total focus is on. Let's catch this guy. Like, we have to eliminate this threat.
Right.
And then you're satisfied when it happens.
Right.
And then they come back and you're like, oh, I completely forgot about that.
Yeah.
Wait. And then it just ends.
Exactly. It just leaves you at this note of like, oh, what?
They were like,
we
gave
you
the closure you wanted. Like, we led you into this.
They gave you, right, exactly.
And we closed it. We're done. Right. Yeah. So.
No, overall, this is like, this out of...
It's disturbing.
Yeah,
so.
I mean, out of the four movies from exploitation we got, this is, like, this and Dear Samurai are up there. Like, Dear Samurai, because I just found it to be so enjoyable. This movie is just so fucking well made. Like, there's, like, if you watch this movie, it's all, like, you talk about, like, a movie that's flawless in its execution. Like, I don't know that I could point anything out in this movie that I'd be like, they did that wrong. Because... It's so well done. It's so tightly put together. The storytelling is so strong. Like you said, the acting is good. Like, the filmmaking is good. It's so good. It's such a good movie. But it's not the kind of movie people necessarily respond well to because it goes to a place that makes people uncomfortable.
Oh, very.
It's the kind of movie that like you could see an American studio being like, "Oh, we want to remake that," you know, like they did with Girl with the Dragon Tattoo, but never knowing how to do it because how could you ever make this movie for a mainstream audience?
Yeah, well, how could you ever present this to an American audience?
Yeah, that too. I mean, they're from there. Yeah, at least an audience that you know is a large. You should say like a large audience because it's certainly an audience that would appreciate a movie like this and be able to. Sort of take the content and separate it from how good the movie is. You know, not look at just the content and be like, oh, that movie's horrible because it deals with horrible, horrible things. You know?
Yeah.
That's what a lot of people will do, is they'll be like, that movie's horrible because it deals with things that I think are horrible. Not realizing that, you know, horrible things happen and we should be, you know, aware of them. And it's important that we think about these things. And so it's a great movie. Like I was blown away.
Yeah. So
I was in my chair at this movie. Like, holy shit! Like I was like, this movie is amazing.
Yeah, and they don't shadow anything. So
no, it's
pretty upfront with what's going on.
Really good. Like really, really good.
So all right, anything else on that?
No, that's all right. You gotta watch it. You gotta watch it.
All right. So yeah, those two reviews were for The Treatment
and Horsehead.
Or actually, we did Horsehead first and The Treatment. Yeah. So definitely, definitely check out those two. Or just go to the Artsploitation website, and they got a whole list of stuff going on over there. So
yeah, definitely check them out. They're doing, their lineup is, I mean, we've talked about it on the show before. The lineup is just, that looks great. I can't wait to just check out more stuff. I'm like a fan of this label, like none other.
Yeah, me too.
I love what they're doing.
All right, that's it.
Yeah, that's it.
All right. Well, the website is midnighttriplefeature.blogspot.com. Head over there and check us out. Midnight Triple Feature.